No, our comfort is this: those who are led by the Spirit, that is, we have the Holy Spirit, He's guiding us, empowering us. This is the fact. Not could be children of God, or might become. No, they are children of God.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. May 26, 2024. Romans 8:12-17.
Could you imagine being part of a family that didn't want you? Or even a family that not only disowned you, but wanted you dead? That was the case for Gina, a survivor of an attempt to kill her in her mother's womb. She found years later that her mother still didn't want a relationship with her. Her mother had wanted her to die, but God spared her. And more than that, God not only spared her from the doctor trying to take her life and her mother trying to snuff her out, God brought her into His family. And she found, through that gospel message, the Lord who spared her life once, it also spared her for eternity to be part of His own family. And she found, though she could not have a healthy relationship with the mother who wanted her dead, or the absent father, that she could with her God. Today we're going to begin a series looking at the power of the gospel which gives not only new life, but a new place, a new position, a new status, new strength, new hope, so much through the power that it provides. And it's through that gospel we'll see, as we look at this 7-part series, the power of God. Today we'll see, as we look at Romans chapter 8, how the gospel provides a new family. What we see in Romans 8 is the Apostle Paul describing for us what God has done with the gospel. He starts by saying that we really have been brought into new life. In fact, this life by the Spirit, as it's described, is the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, working new life, and producing fruits. Because the Spirit has done this. The Spirit not only provides new life, the Spirit provides us forgiveness, brought us to faith in God's kingdom, and Paul closes a section here by saying, the same Spirit that raised Jesus to life from the grave will give life to our mortal bodies. That's the gospel. The fact that though we deserved death and we were headed down the path towards death, spiritually we are made alive. Physically also we will be made alive. And until then we are living under God in His kingdom, serving Him. So what does our family life look like? The Apostle Paul describes here our new condition starting at verse 12 of Romans 8. Therefore, that is, since you've been made alive by the working of God, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not according to the flesh to live according to it. Or if you live according to the flesh, you will die. We do now have something that we need to live up to. When someone's brought to faith, yes, the contention is there that Christians teach you only simply need to believe and that's good enough. That's true. Good enough for salvation. You have new life. But Paul says we have an obligation. That is, we have something to live up to. God brought us out of death. God made us alive, not so we would live according to the flesh. Paul describes his struggle against that flesh in the previous chapter. How because of his life, because of the working of the flesh, he found himself living in a struggle. He found himself going back to the deeds that he considered evil and ugly. And he said, what a wretched man I am. I'm according to my sinful nature, a slave to this sin. And yet Paul recognizes he has an obligation, a new life to live. So he reminds us, brothers and sisters, with this gospel, with this forgiveness, your obligation is not to live according to the flesh. See, what the flesh wants is what's often summarized as simply hedonism or materialism. The flesh wants to pursue every pleasure, whatever it takes, no matter what it means about God or the people around you. whether it be food, sensual pleasures, whatever it takes to make yourself happy, the chase, the pursuit of pleasures, what our flesh drives after, even if that means running away from God and against all the people around us. That's the flesh. Or the flesh tries to obtain its pleasure by materialism, thinking if you can just have that one more thing, then you'll be satisfied. And then it's one more thing. And then one more. You just need to have the right things, and then you'll be happy. The flesh doesn't concern itself with the gospel truth. It concerns itself with the things that don't last and the things that fight against the Holy Spirit. Paul says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. And make no mistake, Paul's not saying here something against the gospel. What he's saying is, if you live by this, if you wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to follow my sinful heart and I'm going to do what it wants, Paul says, you will die. And he's not merely talking about physical death, but separation from God's Spirit and God's mercy and love and facing God's condemnation in spiritual death. But then he goes on to say, but if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And there you have the Christian life. Not living according to the flesh, but putting to death the things of the flesh. Maybe someone might think, well, I've been saved, I've been rescued, I'm brought into God's kingdom. Now I can take my sinful side and that sinful heart and I can tame it. I'm going to just bring it out every now and then to play, as if our sinful flesh is this wonderful pet that, yeah, occasionally bites us in the hand, but we can tame it, we can control it. We're going to let that sinful nature come out and have its play every now and then. It's not what Paul says. He says, if you put to death the misdeeds of the body. That is, we take that sinful heart, its desires, its thoughts, everything that goes against God, and we kill it. We say, I'm dead to you, I'm done with you. So often the Christian wants to ignore Paul's words and the struggle here and let the flesh reign in our heart and a sinful heart have its way, or let that sinful heart continue and we live by it and we allow it to guide us instead of the Spirit. But Paul says the exact opposite is true for you, brothers and sisters. He says, put to death the misdeeds of the body. But you don't do that on your own. He says, by the Spirit, those who put to death the misdeeds of the body. Paul's not describing how we become a part of God's family. Rather, he's describing those who are in the family of God. He says, as he goes on, those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Here's our comfort. Not that if we work hard enough to kill our sinful nature, we will somehow make it into God's kingdom. Or if we avoid somehow the deeds of the flesh completely, then God will accept us and make us his own. No, our comfort is this. Those who are led by the Spirit, that is, we have the Holy Spirit. He's guiding us, empowering us. This is the fact. Not could be children of God or might become. No, they are children of God. You are God's child. As the Holy Spirit not drives you along or gives you fear, the Holy Spirit leads you. And that Holy Spirit who leads you to live according to that obligation, that new life, to serve God with a new heart. Paul goes on to picture it really in a way we can all understand. You are children of God. We have a new status, a new position. And this is the power of the gospel. Paul started his letter to the Romans by saying he's not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God. And one of the powers of the gospel is this, that it brings you from being outside of God's kingdom to those who believe being brought to be children of God. And as children, you have a whole new family life and a whole new family position. The Spirit you received, and notice it's passive, you're led by the Spirit, you received the Spirit. The Spirit you received, which was in your baptism, does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. That's the way it was when we were outside the family of God. We were living in fear if, wondering only, God might love us. We lived in fear as a slave, thinking if we just do the right things and keep the right rules, then possibly we might get along with our Father in heaven. But not really considering him a father, just a master. But you did not receive a spirit that makes you slaves. You do not live now, Christian brothers and sisters, hoping that God will love you. You do not live in fear again. Notice he says again. We were brought out of that fear that comes with not being in God's family, of wondering if God loves us, if we just might please him enough. No, that's not the spirit you received. Brothers and sisters, if the only reason we keep God's word, if the only reason we keep that obligation is because we're afraid God won't love us or bless us, you don't have the spirit. But if you have the spirit of God, this is the spirit you received. The spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. You have been brought, adopted into the family of God. Now, I don't know what kind of a life you've had with your earthly family or your earthly father, perhaps. And maybe some people that are adopted are made to feel like they're somehow outside the family. Or even those born into the family are treated as if they're not really loved. But you belong to the family and have been adopted into the family of God. God treats you as his own. As he looks on you, he sees someone who he considers to be his own child, part of his family. That's the power of the gospel. No longer living in fear if our Father loves us, we're assured you are children of God. And if you wonder about that, it says here, the spirit you live, that you received, brought about your adoption, is in you, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. You know, some people with their earthly parents might struggle and wonder if their parents really care or pay attention, but not us. We cry in a very close relationship to our God, Father. Paul describes that in chapter 7 with his struggle against sin. Who will rescue me? Lord, have mercy. Maybe your cry comes out as you cry out to the Father when you feel alone, or like nobody cares about your situation. Father, you can cry out to him as a child cries out to their dear father who loves them. Whether it's because of your guilt, your need of strength, or comfort, or hope, or healing. Father. And if you are wondering if the Father hears, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. When you claim, Father, I'm your child, right? There is the Holy Spirit speaking on your behalf, saying, this is one who is your own. This is one who belongs to you. The Spirit who brought us into adoption through Christ. All this is possible by the power of the gospel. The Holy Spirit testifies that we are God's children because God adopted us through his Son. God the Father loved you so much that, as we read earlier, he sent his Son to this world. And the Son loved you so much that he poured out his life for you, that you might become children of God, purchased and won by his blood, freed from the guilt of your sins, cleansed and made to be God's own. And God not only loves you, he's given you the gift and poured out into your hearts his Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit now testifies, cries out on your behalf, this is one who belongs to me. This is one who's received the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so Paul can say, if we are children, then we are heirs. Maybe we don't think about that as we live our life right now. Doesn't seem like we receive that much in God's kingdom. None of us are rich simply because we're Christian. None of us are living wealthy off of the fact that Christ has made us his own. Not yet, not right now. In fact, the world sees us as children of God, and they don't see us possessing much. But Paul wants you to see what you possess. If we are children, we are heirs. That means you are going to receive everything God has promised as an inheritance, not something you've earned, not something you've worked for or done, but because you're part of the family. Can you picture that? Imagine if you were part of a wealthy family and you were going to receive everything you could have imagined simply because you belong to the family. That's you. Oh, but what about the rest of the family? Sometimes when a wealthy family receives an inheritance, they're squabbling and fighting, and maybe somebody's left out of the inheritance. Don't worry about that. If we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. Imagine if someone stood to receive a $1 billion fortune from their parents, but their brother decided that he was going to take it for himself and somehow worked out that they didn't receive their share. Imagine if Christ were to say, they're the ones that are dragging us down, God. Father, they're the ones that fall into sin. They're the ones that struggle in the Spirit. They're the ones that we have to lead along by the Spirit. Father, they don't deserve the same inheritance as me. But Christ, our brother, in grace and in love, pours out the same gift and says, Father, give them what you've given me, a resurrected, glorified body to live forever. Give them what you've given me, raising me out of the grave and to have glory in your kingdom and joy forever at your side. We are co-heirs with Christ, who became our brother. And finally, as you consider the family life of God, knowing all this, that you are no longer living in fear, no longer slaves, living as you're led by the Spirit, calling out to your Father who hears you, children of God, there will be struggles. Every family has struggles. Even our brother Christ walked as a servant of suffering. Paul concludes with this, if indeed we share in his sufferings, don't despair or worry. If you find in your life there are struggles as a child of God, you're still part of the family. Your brother suffered. Christ, who became like us, suffered greatly for us. And he tells you that you too will bear a cross and suffering in this life. That suffering may come as a result of your circumstance, from illness or loss. But all of us, to some degree and at some point along the way, we'll face various kinds of suffering. And it's when we suffer that these words, the power of the gospel, comes. The power of the gospel reminds us who we are, even in our suffering. We are heirs of the kingdom of God, co-heirs with Christ. We are those who have the Spirit testifying on our behalf. This, even though they suffer, is a child of God. And we can cry out as we suffer, Abba, Father, knowing our God hears us. And even as we suffer, we don't have to live in fear that God doesn't love us. No, the spirit of slavery and fear is gone. We are children of God. And even as we suffer, we continue to be led by the Spirit to live a godly life, serving the God who freed us. Because we know, even as we suffer, that we will also share in the glory of Christ. That's what the family of God has in store. You're part of a family. The gospel, the message of Christ received by the Spirit, has given you a provision of that new family. And whatever comes in your life, you can cry out. You have the Spirit testifying. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit consider you part of the family, God's own. See the power of the gospel in providing a new family, now and forever. Amen.